the thicker it gets, the more revelation God brings. And so I have to take my time, but I'm not going to keep you over time. We're going to take as much as we can take, and we'll stop and keep going. That's the good thing about teaching in a series. You don't have to meet a certain place as long as you get an understanding. I'd even say this to you. As I teach and I put something out, if you don't understand it, don't disrupt me, but just hold your hand up. Just hold it up and put it down. If I can't get that full explanation to you through the rest of my teaching, there is a website. We have a New Light website, www.newlightfellowship.org. You can go on there, or you can email me with your question for understanding and explanation, and I'll be glad to give you the biblical explanation based upon Scripture. I try my best. Everything that I say, I have to back it up with the Word of God, because there are a lot of false teachings going around. There's a lot of false stuff out there. People can throw out something and call it prophecy, and most people don't even know what prophecy is. So we want to make sure that we stay in line with what God has for us. Amen? Okay. I think this is the fourth or the fifth. I keep forgetting how many it is, but it really doesn't matter. Today, we're going to continue in Romans, and I just want to kind of back up a second, because previously we talked about how that faith predated the law, okay? And so we understand that if there's a basis for what God wants to do in the earth with his people, it's not based upon rules, regulations, and traditions. It's based upon our ability to believe God. Now, I want to qualify this, because everything that you say you're supposed to do is not of God. Sometimes you just want to do something, and you want to do it so badly in the flesh that you come off and you say, you know, Pastor, our brother, sister, you know, the Lord has told me I need to do this. But the Lord hadn't told you anything. I knew it was going to be hard starting out, but that's where we're going. There are more people in trouble financially, in their marriages, at work, because they want to do something so bad, and they've heard that but the Lord will do what you need him to do and not give basis and background on it, that all of a sudden you put yourself out on a limb. And now you're saying the Lord told you. Let me tell you one thing the Lord never told you to do. The Lord never told you to get in a lot of debt. I need some help over here, because ain't nobody want to listen to the pastor. He's never told you to mortgage yourself upside down and you say, look what the Lord, you know, the Lord gave me this car. If the Lord gave it to you, ain't no note. Now, you can say, I've looked at my budget, and I can see where I can afford to finance this car, and it's within my budget, and that's what I've decided to do, and that's fine. Ain't no sin in that. But don't go around, let me tell you what, don't go around, and this is not even where he's taken up here, but just stay with me. Don't go around telling people that the Lord blessed you with a new car that you upside down in. That if you would get laid off for a week, they take the house, the car, the dog, everything would be gone. And then where's your witness? Where's your witness when he said, well, you know, I thought you said that the Lord blessed you with that. Now you stand there with your mouth open because God did not bless you with debt. He says, consider the cost as you make decisions. Amen. All right? That's for somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. So let's talk about this morning kind of perfecting or trying your faith. Because we talked about the difference between, we said that there's the law and then there's grace. And grace is a product of faith. And that Abraham pleased God not with his keeping traditions, but with his faith. Because if you look at Abraham's life, he wasn't no different than me and you. And if you go several generations down where you get to the one that says God has him after his own heart, we look at David. David was worse than anybody I know. Matter of fact, David helped me to receive my ministry. Because as I was cutting my yard one day, the Holy Spirit moved and said he wanted me to preach. And I said verbally, I was out cutting the yard. If you had seen me, you would have locked me up. I was out there, and basically said, I want you to preach my word. And I said, you got the wrong yard. It's the person on the other side of the hedge. And I stupidly said, you don't know me. And he said, I knew you before you knew yourself. I said, but I'm not the goody two-shoes, let us bow and pray person. How can you use me? And he said, if I can use David, I can use anybody. So at that point, I had to study the life of David, and I saw, you know, David was anointed to be king when he was a child, but he was never made king until he was an older man. And in between that, David did a lot of messing up. And even when he became king, he did a lot of messing up. But after he did the messing up, God did the fixing up. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. And if I can use David, I can use anybody. And I'm saying that today, somebody, this is a message for you. The same message that I got. If he could use David, he can use you. So keep that in your spirit as we go forward. Amen. So we say that now that we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace, and it's through a process called faith. So we're going to try our faith. One of the things that when we talk about faith, we talk about Abraham, and we automatically think that Abraham is the bulwark of faith, and all of a sudden, if you like Abraham, you are special. Stay with me. Don't lose me, because I'm going to say some things that I'm going to show you in the Bible so that you can be clear on them. Number one, Abraham didn't have any more faith than you or I had in the beginning. I want you to understand that. Now that I got your attention, I'll fix it, but I want to put that out there. Come on, what do you do? Our father Abraham. Abraham was a man. I guess they wore pants, but whatever they put on like any other man did. Amen? All right, and I'm going to prove that, and then I'm going to prove to you how God still used Abraham and the process of perfecting our faith. Okay, amen. Let's go to the next slide. Look at these two, because this is one of the major areas where it seems to be a contradiction in the Word. We know what James says, and we know what Paul says. And so James says in James 22 and 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works has faith made perfect? Was faith made perfect? Was faith made perfect? Hang on to those words. 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Okay, James, we accept what you say because it's in the Bible, but what does Paul say? Paul says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Wait. One seems to say that your faith is justified by your work. In other words, where we get the misconception that you can work your way to heaven. And this scripture is used, and it stood on as a foundation that you have to do a certain thing in order for God to receive you. And then we flip-flop and we see that Paul is saying that it's not what you do, it's what God has already done. And if you believe that, then that's what justifies you. And I'm here to tell you that they're both right and there's no contradiction. Let me show you in context what this is all about. First of all, when Paul refers to works, he's talking about the works of the law and keeping of tradition and the fact that Abraham's faith in God was not built on keeping of the written code, but on the faith that God said, because the promise came before the law. And it was dependent on Abraham's faith. So when Paul talks about we're not dealing with works, he's saying it's not dependent on a written code. It's not dependent on any commandments. It's not dependent on the traditions of man. It's still dependent on us believing God. Now, James, on the other hand, is still not talking about written code. He's talking about, let me read it again, "But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead." Now, when you use the word works here, I want you to think of works of faith. Faith without evidence is dead. Can you get with me there? Faith is demonstrated. He's not saying the demonstration comes before the faith, but he's saying when you do have real faith, your faith will be demonstrated. So there's no contradiction. He's just stating it in context of a different place than where Paul is stating it in the context of what he's saying it. So you can't take them, put them side by side and say they're talking about the same thing, because they're not. Paul is talking about the written code. James is talking about the works of faith, are the things that faith produces. And James is saying, you tell me you got faith, but let me tell you, unless there's something that happens because of your faith, your faith is dead. Are you with the pastor so far? Amen. I really want to get that up, because I hear so many different mess ups on those. So I had to get here first. And so we look at these, and I want to reference them, and I'm going to talk about now how we reconcile them both. Go to the next slide, and I want you just to verify what I said. Look what James says before he said that first statement. It's now he's qualifying before he makes a statement that we hang on him. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Faith without patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Because you're being patient in your faith walk. And therefore, faith that you say you have, that you can't demonstrate by being patient as God perfects you, is defective faith. Oh, y'all miss me. I need you to get this. He's saying that you say you have faith, but if the first little wind pops up, Pastor Marshall, not even a storm, just a wind, and you've abandoned it, then you don't have nothing to start with. Amen? And now let's look what Paul says. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand, and rejoice in hope." Rejoice, my brethren, count it all joy. Are you with me? Hallelujah. "By whom we have access of faith, by this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." You see the reconciliation now of the scriptures. He says, Paul, James says, that the patience works you into perfecting of a lineup with God, so that God can use you. And Paul says, you got to know that it's your faith and that you're going to have tribulation, but in that tribulation there's a process that if you be patient and work through it, that the tribulation works patience and it goes on to perfection. So there's no contradiction. Actually, there's a connection, a mandating of a joining together that shows that they're both saying the same thing. Amen. Now that I've got that cleared up, and by the way, if you haven't gotten your CDs for the first three of these, after this, it's going to get over your head. Because this I'm through foundation now. I'm about to start flying next week. And if you don't really understand what these were, you'll be lost. So please get the CDs. They are free. Amen. Or go on the website and just listen to them. All right. Let's look at this. So I've come up now with my own reconciliation statement. And I want you to hear this because it's my attempt to reconcile those two scriptures so that it would make sense in all situations. And it's this: faith without the evidence of patience through tribulation is not faith. It's dead. God will only fulfill his promise to you in proportion to the maturity of your faith. Now I'll back it up with scripture. Mark, Matthew 9:28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to all the rituals that you've kept, according to your faith, be it unto you." Jesus turns this thing and says, "Look, you really want to be able to see? Yes. Then let's mount up some faith for you. Because the degree of your faith is going to determine the degree of your healing at this point. Are you with me?" Amen. Okay. Now I want you to walk with me quickly as I give you the example of Abraham. Because Abraham was not super saint, as the Jews tried to make him out to be. He is a perfect example and an illustration of how we perfect our faith. So I want you to walk with me. In Romans 4:13, since we're in Romans, it says, that famous promise God gave Abraham, and this is the Message Bible, because I'm breaking it down into three separate parts because I want to talk about each one and get you to focus on the thing that I'm trying to bring to you today. He says that famous promise God gave Abraham that he and his children would possess the earth was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on, listen to this, God's decision to put everything together for him. Now I want you to personalize it. Sister Dow, that thing that you know that God has put on your heart, that thing that you know that God has placed in and it's burning inside you, you know that God gave, it's not determined on whether or not you cooked a good meal last night for Brother Conrad, although he wants a good meal. Brother Conrad said, "Amen, I've been quiet because I ain't got food. I hadn't gotten fed today, so I'm not going to say much." Amen. It's dependent on what God, listen, has already put everything together for you. God has already put everything together for you. What God has put in your heart for you, Brother Sidney, is not lacking anything. God has already, Sister Cheryl, put everything together in a package for you according to the dream he gave you. But look at the last part. He says, together for him, which Abraham then entered when he believed. Now what he's saying, Brother Willie, is simply, God has already provided everything you need for the promises that he made you. I want to get you a disclaimer. Everything that you have in your head is not of God. But the thing that's in your heart that is of God, God has already provided everything you need for it to come into manifestation. But you now have to believe. You ain't got to say no Hail Marys. You ain't got to go into a little room and make a confession to a man. You just got to believe what God said. Hallelujah. Now let's deal with this belief. Go to the next one. Go to Genesis 12. Listen. I want you to see this. Because what happens now is God intervenes in Abram's life. Like God intervenes in our life. And he says in 12:1, "Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Well, Lord, I want to do some things for you, but it's not clear yet, Sister Maxine, so I got to pray another 5 weeks until God makes it clear." No, God does not have to make it clear. God said is go. And so the beginning of your faith perfection is to be able to follow God's voice even when you don't see where he's taking you. I must follow God's voice even when I don't see where he's taking me. Hallelujah. Now, when you do that, God said to him, "I will make of you a great nation." Now, I want you to understand he said, "I will." Stay with me there. "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favor and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." Well, what are you saying? God says to Abraham, "I'm giving you a promise." But notice the language that God uses at this point. God uses future tense. "Abraham, this is what I am going to do. I'm giving you a glimpse of where I'm going to take you. But you're getting to where God is going to take you is dependent on whether you believe God." And at this point, Abraham did not believe God. Well, how do you know that? How do you know he didn't believe him? Well, if he believed him, then he wouldn't have done what he did in the next section. Genesis 12:11. God had already told him what he was going to do, right? Now let's look. He told him that he was going to be the father of nations. He told him that people were going to bless him. He told him if anybody messed with them, he was going to take them out. He told him all of these things. "And you would bless." He said, "I'm going to bless you. People that bless you, I'm going to bless. If anybody messes with you, I got your back. And you're going to be the father of many nations." That's what's going to happen to you, Abraham. That's the vision I showed you. That's what I've shown you. Do you believe me, Abraham?
Yeah, I believe you. In church, I believe you. When the praise team is praising, I believe you. When they're praying for me, I believe you. And I will shout and I'll claim the victory. I'll jump and spin. I'll claim the victory while I'm in church. And I'll go home and Monday morning when I go to the job, something comes up and all of a sudden I'm scared when he told me not to have a spirit of fear. And so I know Abraham didn't believe God because this is what he said. He said, "And when he was about to enter Egypt," now you know there was a famine going on. Now, Abraham was in the promise. He was in the promised land on a temporary stay. Now, because of the famine, he goes to Egypt. Now, when he goes to Egypt, he said this to his wife. "And when he was about to enter to Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know that you are beautiful to behold. So when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they'll let you go.'" Wait a minute, Abraham. If you had all that faith, why are you talking about somebody's going to kill you When God said you're going to be the father of many nations and you haven't had a child yet. So if you die, it ain't going to be soon because you ain't got a child. So now you're talking about, I want to have the faith of Abraham. Let me tell you, the faith of Abraham, like everybody's faith, is an acquired process. Faith is a process. And so you can't be on people just because they joined church last week and this morning they come in smelling like they had a drink. It's a process. Leave folks alone and let God do God. Well, it goes on, and then God now in chapter 13, he comes to Abraham again, to Abram. You ought to get a hint now that if God has something for you, he ain't going to leave you alone till he gets you in position to do what he wants to do with you. And you have to understand that while you're going through your hell, you shouldn't be saying, Lord, why am I going through this? There is a perfecting process. And you may have to walk through hell for a little while. You have to perfect your patience. You have to understand what's going on. Not necessarily to you, but others around you. You have to be able to take the criticism. You have to be able to take the setbacks. Not thinking that God has failed you, but that God is perfecting you. He's fixing you. He's pulling dead weight off of you. He's pulling stuff off you and moving things out of your way. Sometimes you fall, but you are not forsaken. God is still in the process of reconciliation and rebuilding in your life. That's why he said, count it all joy. He says, after Lot had left him. Some of y'all got to get a lot away from you. Some of y'all got a lot in your house, on your job, and you need to stay away from a lot. A whole lot. God told him, leave your family and go, and I'll tell you where to go. Abraham was not faithful. I'm not going by myself. I'm taking my nephew. He's younger and stronger. All right? Now, after Lot left, look what happened. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, I will. Say, I will. I will give to you and to your posterity forever, and I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth, so that if a man could count the dust of the earth, then could your descendants also be counted. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt among the oaks of Terebinth of Mara, which are at Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. Okay, God, you've encouraged me. I still say to you that Abraham did not have faith. He had hope. He was encouraged, but he was not at the point where he believed God. He said, fine, you tell me all this, God. I'm going to build you up an altar. So I can remember what you told me, but my mind is the only thing engaged. My heart and my spirit is not engaged yet. Why do I know that? Go to the next. In Genesis 15 and 1, God had already told him all the things that he was going to do for him, right? After these things. After he told him all of this. Second time God had visited him. After these things. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your abundant compensation and your reward shall be exceedingly great. And Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me? Since I am going on, meaning I'm getting old from this world, childless, and he who shall be the owner of an heir of my house is this steward, Eleazar of Damascus. Wait a minute, Abraham. I just told you a few chapters back that I'm going to be your protector, your shield, and your children's children will be like the sand of the earth. And now you come up to me and say, what you going to do for me, Lord? I'm looking around at the things I see. When I first talked to you, I was 75. Now I'm 80 years old. Things have not gotten better. They've gotten worse. Things were not working well then. They ain't working at all now. And you telling me that I am going to be the father. Look here. The only way I see this happening is that I set it up myself and be as the tradition says and leave my things to my steward so that my name would go on. Maybe that's how you're going to fix it. But I'm not believing God at this point. And Abram continued, look, you have given me no child, and a servant born in my house is my heir. Look, don't look good over here. Look, doesn't look good over here. Look, doesn't look good over here. Look, don't look over here. God says, stop looking. The more you look, the more tempted you are to do something foolish. God says, stop looking. Stand on my word. Stop looking. Stand on what I said. Stop looking. Find a joy inside of you. I want your faith to grow because you're not going to get this promise by looking. You're going to get this promise by believing. And I say to you, stop looking. Stop looking and start believing God. Amen. Now, Abraham went from 75 to 80. Now he's 90, I think he's 99, 98, 99. God comes again. And behold, the word of the Lord came saying, this man shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, look now toward the heavens. Oh, there's a message in that one right there. While you're looking around, sometimes you need to stop and just look toward the heavens. And let God demonstrate his creation to let you know how much bigger he is than you and how much bigger he is than any problem you can come up with. Hallelujah. He says, He brought him outside and says, look now toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendant be. Now wait. Hey, God came once. He didn't believe him. God came twice. He still didn't believe him. This time, after he'd been through the mess and God had to mold him a little bit, this time, Elder, after he'd messed up a couple of times, see, some of you in your faith walk, don't think that it's going to be just a bed of roses. You will mess up in your faith walk, but don't stop walking. Don't stop walking. He said, and Abram believed in, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The Lord, when he saw that he finally believed, now God says, now I'm going to change some stuff because you finally get it. You finally get it. Now I'm going to count you as righteous. Whenever God starts to do something, he changes the name. He changes your name. There's an old hymn that we say. He said, I know I've been changed. Hallelujah. And it goes on. He says, hey, Abram believed. Go on to the next slide. We find that now Sarah. Now I want you to get this one. This is important. Oh, we almost said, this is important. You need to understand that even when you get to the point of your faith
believe with understanding of what God said. What God said. And the way God wants it done. See, you may know that God said, look, I want you to build a ministry. And you say, I know God told me I'm supposed to do this. But now don't run off just because you know he gave you the ministry and start celebrating. Get still so he can show you how. He said, look here. He says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said to Abram, see here, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Now Abram had said, I ain't got no problem. He told me I was going to be the father. I believe that. I'm there now. I'm at the belief. I don't care what happened. I'm ready. I can deal, okay? I ain't had no blue pills. I can still deal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so now, he says, I can deal. But now, Sarah says, and Sarah said to him, see here, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. And I'm asking you to have intercourse with my maid so it may be that I can obtain children by her. And Abraham listened. Brothers, love your wives, but listen to the Lord. That's a whole nother series I'm going to deal with about family relations later on. Love them, but listen to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going on to read the rest of this. The thing is that all hell broke loose because he listened and he did what he's supposed to do, but he didn't do it the way God wanted done. And now we got conflict in the house, people getting put out, people coming back in, people saying, I'm better than you. And now you got this feud that's going on from the time of Ishmael to today, to right now, that same feud is going on. Okay, let's go on. Now, James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Abraham has gone from one step to another, to another. He finally gets it. He messes up. But guess what? God did not give up on him. And so this last part comes when he talks about what's going to happen next. He says, go to the next one, please. In Genesis 17 and 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect, blameless, wholehearted, complete. His process got him to his perfection. Now he says, be a state of being that you've arrived at because you've gone through the process of sacrifice, the process of overcoming your mistakes and still believe in me. The process of being patient even when everybody's laughing at you because your name means father and you ain't got no kids. Not only that, God is going to turn the heat up. He turns the heat up. Look what it says. And I will make my covenant, solemn pledge between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him. Now, he falling on his face says, I totally submit. I totally submit, God. Whatever you say, however you want it done, whenever you want it done, that's what I'm going to do. That's where faith really is. Us just saying I got faith, that don't mean nothing. But when God says, here's what I want you to do and here's how I want it done, and you look around and you don't see how it's going to happen, but you still say, God, whatever. It's you. Look what it says. Then Abram fell on his face and God said to him, as for me, behold, my covenant is, not shall be, not gonna come. At this point, it is with you. And you shall be the father of many nations, nor shall your name no longer be Abram,
high exalted Father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of many nations. Abraham could have said, but I don't have any children. No, Abraham said, whatever you say, however you want it, I know you can do it. So they can laugh about my name if they want to, because you say it's already happened. Yes, my name is Abraham. Not only have I got one child, I am the father of multitude. Well, I don't see no children. You ain't got to see nothing. Because God said it, that's the way it is. But you know what? You're always talking about you're going to have your own business, because God told you, I don't see you in no business. You ain't got to see nothing. If God said it, that's the way it is. You just stick around long enough, I'll let you know when the grand opening is. Because if God said it for me, that's the way it's going to be. Oh, you too old to go back to school. You've been to the joint. Ain't nobody going to hurt. I don't need nobody to tell me about my past. God said, I am. And he said he is. So therefore, that's the way it's going to be. So you can hang around here being a hater if you want to. But I'm with God and God's with me. And that settles all of that. Look here. It says, by faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test, while the testing of his faith was still in progress, he already brought Isaac for an offering. He who had gladly received and welcomed God's promise was ready to sacrifice his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your descendants be reckoned. Now, I want to stop there, because that's where the point is made. We know the story that as Isaac grew up, God came to Abraham. While your plans, your business, your church, your ministry, your educational program is in process and you are seeing some manifestation of the promise, God may choose, stay with me, God may choose to see, to let you see whether you have faith or not. He's already found it in Abraham, but now he wants Abraham to see it in himself. So he says, Abraham, take the boy. I want you to go up on the hill. I want you to build an altar. I want you to take him up, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Abraham could have said, I need to get out of town, take my son, because God wants to kill him. It's the only way I'm going to have any offspring is this boy live, and I got to make it so he lives. So at this point, I've lost trust in God, because I don't see how in the world I'm going to be the father of anything if my only son is dead. I could say Ishmael, but he said through Isaac. Well, you know what? Whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever, I don't understand it. Lord knows I don't see how, but that's what I'm going to do. And he takes his son up on the mountain and prepares to sacrifice him to God. And if it weren't for the angel, he would have done it. That's when he proved to himself that I am faithful and I am the father of many nations. It was in my heart, but now I meet James's definition. Up to this point, I'd been walking into Paul's definition. But now I meet James's definition. That show me your faith without works, but I'll show you my faith by what I do. And he finishes, for he reasoned that God was able. Can I just stop on God is able? For he reasoned that God is able. I got situations, but I reasoned that God is able. I got issues and problems, but I reason that God is able. Things ain't the way I want them to be at my house, but I reason that God is able. My children act like they from Jupiter or Mars, but I reason that God is able. Let's stand.